And she will, she's a great gal. She just, they had a, she's a titled woman, legitimately titled woman, if you care about such things. So she did lots of things in AA. She wrote some books. She wrote a whole thing. She was kind of a, it's hard for me to talk about. She was an artist, and she also wrote stories. And she wrote a story. I know that the story is talked about, and I would love to find it. She wrote something to people who don't make it. And I would certainly like to have read that. Her sobriety date. Oh, she was married to Drew Pearson. Does that mean anything? And Dudley LaVodge. And Kennedy Magruder. She didn't mind getting married and unmarried. Her sobriety date is 1 of 1944. First month of 44. Isn't she a funny girl? It makes sense. Drew Pearson, of course, is in the same business she was raised in, you know. One of the nice things that happened to the Browns when they were there looking, they were so downhearted, and the two boys wanted to help so much, and they said, you know, I think grandmother's got a bunch of stuff in storage. We haven't looked at it in 30, 40 years out there. Maybe we could go out there. And they went out there, and they found a personal diary made from the first day sober right to the last time she could remember who she was. Oh, what a great find for them. I mean, when you're on that kind of a trail, they wouldn't let them take it away, but they let them bring a copier out there and they just copied for days all this stuff. Part of the information. God bless them. They did such a wonderful job. Get the book. It's a great story. This next one on 418 is Harrison Kimbrew, K-I-M-B-R-O-U-G-H. Story's going up all over again. I don't have date of sobriety, 1960. Pretty short story, too. In fact is, Stars Don't Fall is the longest story. Hers is longer than Wilson. In her writing. 422, upon the second generation. Unknown. We know he come in 2 of 50, but we don't really know who he is. Both parents joined 2 years earlier. We know that just from his story. The last name could be Mansfield, but we don't know. Because the Mansfields came in together. We'll back up. 1960. The next one is being an alcoholic. The day of sobriety for this person is 11 of 47, but we don't know who they are. She was listed in Who's Who of America. We know that much about her, but we don't have a name for her. And, of course, her story is Me, an Alcoholic. This is the story. And here's a great story. Everybody knows this guy. Dr. Alcoholic Addict. And he got sober in 12 of 66. And he sent to July of 67. His death came in 2000. He, one of the funniest guys I ever heard talk in my life. His name is Paul Olinger, and his wife was Max. He took Max down to his hospital where he was on staff because she was crazy, and they ended up keeping him. One of the first stories here was titled The Bronze Moccasins. He didn't do well making wallets in there. But he made some bond moccasins. It was kind of a joke between them. They did a lot of speaking together. They kept him in the book, but they changed the name. I don't like it when they do that, but it's their business. They changed it to Acceptance Was the Answer. That's the famous part of him. He was a great speaker. He was a very funny guy. And they just talk, between the two of them, they used to travel together and speak as a pair. which was pretty funny. They lost either, almost all, it says. 457, five-time loser wins. His name is Morris Bourbon. He came from Long Island, New York. His date of sobriety was December of 71. He slipped in 91 after 20 years. He had 2 years of December of 93. He lives in Florida. I believe he's still alive. He works at the Alano Club there. I believe he's still alive. Five-time loser. I've met some people that knew him. I've met some people who were, he was their sponsor. This one on 464 is called Promoted to Chronic. Her name was Helen Brown. I do not have a sobriety date for her. She worked at the GS office in New York. 474 is called Menard. His name is Menard Bernard. He's son of tall man. How do you like that one? He's an Indian called Join the Tribe. They don't have a sobriety date, but we know he stayed sober. Belle of the Ball. We don't know anything about her. Jim's story. This is Jim, and his last name was Sharp. And he's a doctor. His dad was a doctor before him. He's black. He's from Washington, D.C. He got sober 11 of 1940. And he actually took the, believe this or not, we were at that time racist. And black people couldn't come to meetings for a long time. Particularly up into 1950, the whole South was segregated. But he does a great job of staying sober, and I've got tapes of him. He was spoke at one of the conventions. 497. This guy's story is our Southern friend. His name is John Henry Fitzhugh Mayo. Where's O'Shea? How you like that one, O'Shea? He's from Hancock, Missouri. His date of sobriety was 10 of 35. He died in 1943 and never drank again. On a Bill Wilson was the sponsor. This next guy on 508 is Patrick Delaney. We're getting into the Irish crowd now. His sobriety date was 5 of 47. The story is the prisoner freed. Desperate drinking. He's from Ireland. His name is Pat Devlin on page 512, D-E-V-L-I-N, out of New York. Don't know much about him other than that. And we have 517, and we do have some tapes of this guy. Have a whole series of tapes on how Ireland started. This guy's name is Sackville O'Connor Mellon. He is the career officer. He got sober 4-6 of 47. And died sober. Sackville Mellon. Last name is Mellon. I'll get to it in a minute. Sackville O'Connor Mellon. M-E-L-O-N. The career officer. Stayed sober. AA was started by Irish boys who went back to Ireland and started it in the United States. Another chance. Page 526, another chance is the black lady by the name of Bertha Benson from Louisville, Kentucky. She got sober 3 of 72. If you're not getting tired, I am. Oh, God. The man who loses his life, his name is Bob. His date of sobriety is 1 of 47. I don't have anything else for you on him. It could have been Edward Roberts. The man who loses his life. Very famous woman from California. Next one. Page 544. Her name is Wynn Laws. W-Y-N-N. Wynn Laws. Married a lot of times. She has the prayer in the back of the book, which is about the relief for resentments. Pray for somebody for 2 weeks. So her date of sobriety was 7 of 47. So she slipped after the story was written and made a comeback. She is a wonderful speaker. Very inspiring. Freedom from Bondage was her name. And of course, my favorite, one of my favorites, Bob Pearson, AA, taught him how to handle sobriety. And he came in July, 4th of July, 1961. And his wife, Betsy, came with him as an Al-Anon. He was GSO manager from 1974 to 1985. He said they changed the rules after that. He has a tremendous, interesting story. He had philosophical hemorrhages. You're not supposed to survive them. And he went to see Dr. Harry Thibault and got his, I told you about the first time he got this guy that took him to his first meeting, never took another drink. Amazing guy. Wrote for the Grapevine at 2.5 years. He's a writer by trade. His professional career included writing for Franklin Delano Roosevelt's speech when he's in the military. And he's written lots of stuff. His son is a pretty famous writer. Bob Pearson. Bob and Betsy. We okay? All right. Next question.
Short.
Just short. Get one that long. I don't know what we're going to do.
This will be easy for you. Okay. My name's Ralph, alcoholic. Members handed me a question, and they would like to know, is the big book written as a general text intended for others, i.e. to the wives, the employers, or as the 12 and 12 was specifically written for the alcoholic? And is it true that the 12 and 12 was written with a lot of material that was not okayed for the big book?
Well, let's see if I can cover that for you. I'll try to make it easy, as easy as possible. Let's go back to the beginning of the book. In the where he's talking in the doctor's opinion. Oh, let me make sure I can find it here. Maybe it's in the first edition. I'm getting a little wore down, but I'll make it. Hang in there. You can hang in with me. I'll make it. Okay, on XIII. And he starts with, we have Alcoholics Anonymous of more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. He drops down a few lines and he says, many do not comprehend. Oh, we think this account of our experience, the book, will help everyone to better understand the alcoholic. So obviously the book is not just written for the alcoholic, it's written for anyone who wants to understand the alcoholic. Many do not comprehend the alcoholic is a very sick person, and besides, we're sure our way of living has its advantages for all. All-inclusive, spiritual principles. Okay, now what was the next part of that? Prior to 1955, the second edition of the book, what had happened is UAA, through the Service Board of Alcoholics Anonymous, had purchased or been given all of the royalties, all of the stock in the big book, and we became the owners of the book and paid Bill Wilson royalties on the book. Is everybody clear with that one? Okay. When Bill stepped down in 1955 because Dr. Bob had died, he saw that he wasn't going to live forever and that he'd better find a way to create a way of some kind that AA could exist without the two co-founders. But as long as Bill was alive, you can bet your bottom dollar that nobody did much of anything without talking to him. He could start a counter-revolution in a minute and win it. And so, in 1955, prior to that coming out, they decided to write the book. They do things very slowly. And so he wants to rewrite the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And the board of directors said no. And as a compromise, he wrote this. They called essays. They were intended to be joined hand in hand to make a further explanation of what he meant here. That's what it was about. Just get after him. I'm wide awake now. Somebody bring me a Diet Coke. I'll stay tonight. This guy's going to be mad. Michael said, we got to go home, Doc.
My name is Butch, and I'm an alcoholic. What is the history of and how and when did the spiritual experience get into the appendix of the book? I've heard different stories.
Spiritual experience comes in 55. You won't find it in the first edition book. Same thing as if you get it, that book that the folks brought in here the other day, the first edition book, the book starts with page 1. Thank you. With page 1.
You can go
here
all day.
Oh, I wind up now. I'm only about 2 of these a day. This is my 4th one. And some candy back there. From Jesse. Let's try that again now. When did the spiritual experience arrive? They added it in 55. Because they thought they needed an explanation of what a spiritual experience was. There's confusion about it. Some people thought that you had to have it like Wilson. Instantaneous, lights in the room, wind rushing through, on top of mountaintops, spirit blowing through you. And I'm looking at you saying, did you have that? You say, no. How long have you been here? Been here about a month. I've been here about 2 weeks. I hadn't had it either. This ain't working. Let's get out of here. So they had to make a further explanation of the spirit. I love to hear Ruth Hawks when she was interviewed. Because she was there. She typed the big book. She has a daughter who's now 29 years sober who used that book to get sober. And that she wasn't an alcoholic. But she knew Bill very personally. Very personally. Very, very close to those people. Nell Wing. Anything but Nell Wing. Personal experience. I view. Anything but Bob Smith Jr. I view. Most of these people in history, Clarence Snyder, Jimmy Burwell, all I view. Well, I know Joe does a history of AA, but it's not I view. Secondary expense. Anything else? Did Bill Wilson cheat on Lois? I haven't heard that one yet. Oh, I thought you'd be interested.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for being here today. This is a friend's question. How many books did Bill Wilson write?
Well, let's see if I can remember. He wrote AA Comes of Age. He wrote the big book. He wrote the 12 of 12. I believe he wrote a book called AA's Way of a Life, which has now been changed. You won one around here, as Bill sees it. Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers wasn't written by him. Or maybe it was. I'll have to think on it. Well, I would get the book, the latest book to come out. There's a man, I know all of you have seen or have the picture show at home of My Name is Bill W. I don't think anybody in this room hasn't seen that picture. Well, the man who wrote that intended that to be a novel, a long picture show like Gone with the Wind would be. And in that, he included, and the way he got his information for that was he interviewed Lois when she was in her 90s on her back porch with a little hand recorder to take his notes from. So he got everything directly from her. Her part of the book was very large. Usually when you read something about Wilson, it's going to be just Wilson, little mention of Lois. So in this case, he wanted to make a full story out of it. And so he tried to sell it as a big movie in movie land out here in Hollywood. And they wouldn't buy it. And there's a whole story that goes with it. It's almost a God story. And finally somebody called him up and said, we'll make it for a TV movie. Which means you had to shorten it. So he talked to Lois, and Lois always was supporting Bill. And said, this is really about Bill. So let me just drop me out. So he said, I will write a book about you and make a picture about you later. And that book just came out. It hasn't been made a picture, but I believe it will be. It is one of the most moving books from this disease, from her eyes, that I've ever read. And it'll bring you, if you know anything about their history, to tears. There's all such a personal stories that within it. One of the things that really touched me was when she stood in front of the home their family had lived in for 55 years, and the sheriff has taken the home. And she's having to leave the only home she really ever knew until Stepping Stones came. She talks about one time she sat down in New York Station. They moved 54 times in the first 2 years after they lost that home. They lived on welfare of friends. They had a Bill and Lois fund of about $50 that was given to them. They lived in people's houses. They lived in tents. They just lived where they were vagabonds. Just lived wherever they could. She sat down and cried for an hour, Bill said one time, where we never have a home. And eventually stepping stones came to them through a God-sent gift by a woman who made it possible for them to buy that house out there. And then later on, as they split the royalties of the big book, Bill insisted that Dr. Bob, his partner, get half. And he did, and Bob's practice came back, and he didn't need the money, so he just put it over in the bank. And Bill borrowed some money from him one time to buy some more acreage for the place. It's a gated community. I've never been there. I've just seen pictures. But it's a gated community now. This what it means it's a very rich community with lots of acres. And so she had lived to be a very old woman. She drew 80% back in a few years ago, 80% of $700,000+. She became a millionaire. Not just from the writings of Bill, but her own writings. And so she wanted stepping stones. She wanted to give stepping stones to Al-Anon. First she wanted to give it to AA. They wouldn't take it. And they made her mad. So she wanted to give it to Al-Anon. They wouldn't take it either. We don't take gifts of that size. But they always had someone who could work with her. She was pretty hard set. And they would go out and see her, and they talked her into setting up a trust. And she funded that trust, and to this day, that's how stepping stones, the taxes get paid, the upkeep and everything. One of the lovely parts about it that I've heard, I'll probably never get there, but one of the lovely parts about it, you just call them up and say, I'm here from wherever, and I would like to have a tour of the home place. And it's just exactly the way it was left when Bill died and she died. And his stuff is out in Wits End, a little building they built on the side so he could go out there and work, and she worked upstairs. And they did lots of writing besides what you think of. There's all kinds of stuff that she did for Al-Anon. And she was in the story she talks about some really personal things. I just love it. She's real honest. There was a handsome, good-looking fella come to live at the house. Bill's a mess. They begin to take walks together. All of a sudden, they're holding hands. We're getting a little too close here. And he left. The guy left because of that. But she talks about, I mean, she's really human in her talk. I love human. I love people who talk in human terms. But it talks about all the things she went through. And at the end of the book, she will take on everything they ever claimed about Bill Wilson. Nell Wang was associated with Bill Wilson. More a daughter. More like their daughter. She was out there every other weekend typing up their work. They didn't come to work in the office. They stayed there, and she came to them and brought it back. She ran the New York office for years. She told Lois, I'm going to have to quit the job. They're associating me with Bill in a sexual way. And she said to her, oh, don't do that, honey. Bill has lots of enemies. She names two people who said everything was untrue. I can tell you, it's according to whose history you want to listen to. Bob Smith Jr. said, he got mad. He said, not true. They were my uncles and aunts. I personally knew them. In their homes, around them for years. Never happened. Others have said never happened. Others have written about it and said it did happen. So it's up to you. It's one of those mysteries. It's called The Life Story of Lois Wilson. When love is not enough. Powerful, powerful book. They'll make a movie of it, I'm sure. A sequel, I'm sure, to Bill Wilson. My name is Bill W. I know his name, I just can't tell you right now. You won't have any trouble finding it. It's brand new. One of the fortunate things for me is I suppose I have a lot of people who love me and a lot of people who want me to have things. And everything that comes out new, the book shows up at the house. I don't even have to go look for it. And I love it so much, I just go close my door, answer only those calls that are necessary, and I start reading. I love it. That's where I get a lot of my history from, is all these books. We gave you, who's got a copy of that, of the books that we, I saw one around here the other day. Do you have one back there? If you'll see that guy in blue, the great J.R. Right. He will make you might give him a few cents, but he'll make you a copy of a book list. People have asked me, what books have you read? That does not include all books. I will read anything. I read of Fire, of Blood and Fire, who is the starting, William Booth, who started the Salvation Army. Great book. I can tell you, if you read these books of all these people outside of AA, they have one thing in common. Every one of them has been put to some kind of a test spiritually as to whether he was going to go left or go right. Every one of them. And the same thing applies here. You will be tested, guarantee you, whether you're going to stay or go. Is that it? All right, sell some CDs. No, not sell.
That's it for me.
Okay, I want to read something here out of the big book. We've already read it, but I'm going to read it again. It means a lot to me. So on page 164 from A Vision for You, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as we trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless and keep you until then. I want to thank all of you for coming to this thing and for sticking around. It's been a real path for me and a real learning experience. I can't tell you how touched I am and how much I've learned and how much faith has come to me through the process of the prayer meditation that brought this all to fruition. I mentioned in the beginning that it started with a conversation among a couple people and a short conversation and the blessing of meeting Don Brown. And it just means a lot to me, and I want to thank everybody for being a part of it. And also, I want to thank my higher power for putting Bill in my life.
Oh, holy cow. Thank you, everybody.